I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me.
Beep, beep, beep. Hi, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom
Along. Hello. Welcome to It's a Thing, the podcast where two nice, innocent adults who usually spend most of their time in the basement occasionally venture onto the internet and get hit as if by a cartoon anvil by a shared meta thing.
This is incredible.
This is
I don't know how to start this story, but the end, we're going to give you the end so you can enjoy the journey, is that Molly and I realized right before the show that we had both picked the same thing
the
for today's
same
show.
Thing. And we only had a thing because we are actually, our original plan, which we are still going to execute in some form, was, wow, we have been getting so much incredible feedback, like on Twitter and in email and on the Patreon page, patreon.com/itsathing, should you want to join in the fun. That we should just do a show about your things, like just make it the feedback thing show.
Yeah.
So that was the plan.
Yeah.
And then Tom said,
that's my cue.
And then Tom said,
I said, hey, I only have one thing today, forgetting that we actually really didn't even need a thing, but I can do it in the pre-show if you want.
And I was like, well, I could actually rustle up a thing that I've been noticing was a thing. And then all of a sudden today exploded into a super duper thing. Maybe so much of a thing that it's like beyond being a thing. And then I told Tom what it was. And then Tom said, that's my thing.
So a couple weeks ago, I was listening to the Apple Music Today's Hits playlist.
Okay.
Which I do from time to time, like when I'm just getting ready in the morning or I'm making lunch or something. I'm just like, I just want to have some music on, play today's hits. And a couple weeks ago, the song Old Town Road by Lil Nas X showed up on the playlist.
So great.
And I was like, wow, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. This is different. It's got a kind of a country vibe. I'm into this. It caught my ear. And so this morning, it showed up again on that playlist, and I started thinking, well, you know what? This could be a thing. This idea of like a countrified hip hop song. Mm-hmm. And then, as I'm reading minutes later my feeds to get ready for today's Daily Tech News show, I see an article in Variety that the song I had been listening to, which I had sadly stopped before I got to that point in it, was in fact a remix of Old Town Road that included Billy Ray Cyrus, mm-hmm, because Old Town Road had been kicked off the Billboard country charts because people were complaining it shouldn't qualify as country and hip hop. And Billy Ray Cyrus said, well, that's silly. Waylon Jennings once told me that if you do something original, they'll try to make you an outlaw. So I'm going to team up and do this collaboration with Lil Nas X on Old Town Road.
He did a collab. And meanwhile, in Oakland, back in Oakland, this song is on nonstop repeat on my son's phone, in his AirPods, in the car. He and his friends are singing it to each other all the time. The song, Old Town Road, has become a full-blown meme song, which you may recall us discussing as a thing in an earlier episode of the during the relaunch period. And so I'm like, oh my God, this song is totally a thing. It's a complete meme song, and it hits on the thing that we talked about with meme songs, which is that a sub branch of that thing is country, and how
right.
They're like, yeah,
because it was exactly. The John Denver thing when we talked about it originally.
Yep. Yeah, and they all and a bunch of different country songs, and so that they're like, there's this weird kind of fascination, mm-hmm, in meme culture with country music, and so then this was like a double thing, by being like a meme song that was also playing off of the kind of weird obsession that everybody has with country music. So then all of that happens. And then, like Tom said, it gets kicked off the country music Billboard charts. And then today I see Billy Ray Cyrus trending and I see the words Old Town Road. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, this may be even too much of a thing, but apparently it is such, as we discussed, such an overarching meta thing that it became, for the first time that I can identify, the thing.
Yeah. Through no fault of our own, we both independently arrived at the same thing.
Yep.
For
yep.
today's show.
The.
I have a little sample of Old Town Road. If people are not lucky enough to be near Molly's son and hearing it, here is. So he's talking about horses, right?
Horses, literally horses.
And he's got a little drawl, you know. Yeah, so that feels real country to me.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But then
it's awesome.
But then apparently that, you know, that wasn't country enough for some people. So today, here is the bit that has been added.
Down cross town, living like a rock star. Yeah. Spend a lot of money on my brand new guitar. Baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras. Riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports.
I love it.
Oh my
Billy
God,
Ray.
No way. Maserati.
Well, Billy Ray adds to Old Town Road a song about a horse. The country
just
artist adds
rapper.
Old going down Rodeo Drive in a Maserati.
I'm dying right now. I'm dying. I can't even. I also, not for nothing, I love that song. Like, every time it comes on, I'm just freaking delighted.
It's a happy song.
It's just a happy song. It's yeah. so fun. And by the way, the beat, should you have children of the Fortnite age, exactly matches the shoot dance. And so that there's a part where they just all start doing the shoot dance, which is the one where you kind of hop up and down on one foot and you kick one foot forward and you wave your fist in the air. It sounds dumb when you explain it and also looks dumb when you do it, but that's
also a
do.
Side thing, because I didn't know about the shoot dance.
Oh yeah, all the yes, that just goes with the whole thing that is the Fortnite dances. And I feel like he did that on purpose. I feel like Lil Nas X so perfectly, like, this guy has got his finger on the pulse of culture, because he was like, I made a country song that perfectly matches with the shoot dance from Fortnite. Crushed it.
And he calls it country trap, because trap being a type of hip hop, right?
Oh.
Famous from Atlanta. And he's countryfied it.
Yep. And I love everything about it. And
it belongs on the country charts.
It's
my friend.
Only made better by this thing factor. The thing factor.
That's so amazing.
I can't, like, words can't express how delighted and cracking up we were in Google Hangouts like 9 minutes before we were supposed to start rolling. I know this gives you a sense of how prepared we are sometimes, but the plan, we had a plan.
Well, because I didn't say what my thing was. I just said that I had one. And then I go to take my dog out for a walk. I come back and I find, you know, I was into this weird country music thing from Molly. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's my
thing.
That's
actually my thing. Because I was debating. I was like, has it now transcended? Is it too, you know, well, once it's trending on Twitter, like, does that mean it's big enough that it's, anyway. Anyway.
It is a thing right now, this moment, as we are recording it, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Let's get into our Fan Mail Friday.
Let's do it.
Starting with Tim with a comment on episode 55. He says, wait, how did we go so fast from Molly saying her setup would have been perfect if there had also been snow, and then 2 seconds later she's slamming winter and saying she moved to get away from it? Some of us still like winter, and that's why we've stayed. Do we really have to hate on it here?
Whatever. Tell that to my dad, who I called the other day, and he was like, we got 4 inches of GD snow again yesterday, and if it doesn't stop snowing, I'm going to walk into the sea.
Except the sea will be frozen, so I'll just keep walking.
And I have an answer for you, Tim, and that answer is Gemini. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's incompatible to say I like to look at snow.
Yep.
And also, I do not like to be cold.
Also, I definitely did not move to get away from it. I don't even know what episode you're referring to.
Interesting.
Long time listeners to Tom and I will know exactly what I mean when I say the following sentence and will laugh heartily along with us. And that sentence is, Fordo left several episode 55 comments.
This is amazing. Buzz Out Loud fans, Fordo is back.
Fordo is back. Okay, and for those of you who are just joining us, Tom and I used to do the show called Buzz Out Loud, and we took voicemails. And we would encourage people to leave voicemails that were 30 seconds long. And most people did. And we just didn't play the ones that were longer than 30 seconds, with one significant exception. And that exception is my spiritual roommate, Fordo, who would just cheerfully leave us like 2 to 10 minute long ADD voicemails.
But they never felt that long.
No, because she's amazing.
We were just enjoying them so much, we didn't even notice. And then sometimes in the middle, she'd go, oh my gosh, I'm past 30 seconds and hang up.
Yeah. Amazing. Let's see. I'm going to read like the first three. And okay. Then you can pick up at Hey Fordo again.
Sure, sure.
I love you, Fordo. Hello, comrades, she writes. It's 4:40 at 5 a.m. in New York City, and you're keeping me company through another episode of Insomnia. Yay, you guys! No one I'd rather keep company in the middle of the night with. Left these comments on Twitter, but you just said at the end of the podcast that you prefer that we leave comments on the episode page, so I'm about to copy and paste my tweets to you here before I go back to Twitter and delete them. Setup. Okay, regarding old lady names being a thing, totally. Julia Roberts named her daughter Hazel 13 years ago, better than Gertrude, but not by much in my opinion. And I thought, old lady names may be either coming back into vogue or may even be brought back in this momentous Julia Roberts child naming. And now it's your podcast topic. And I think this thing was started by Julia.
Hey, Fordo again. Also, I saw a 10-year-old in a viral video recently named Marianne. WTH, that name hit peak popularity avec Gilligan's Island, then thankfully died off in the 70s. Who's naming a kid that now? It's totally name, the what's that?
Is her name, by the way. Oh, never mind. Sorry, she says it.
It's totally the name of a girl that Keith Partridge or Greg Brady would have dated. Not... Sorry. It's totally the name of a girl that Keith Partridge or Greg Brady would have dated, not one of the Jonas Brothers. I'm officially anti this old lady naming thing, and my given name is Marianne. So I feel like maybe I can throw shade at that name. There's a reason I only go by Fordo outside of work. I'm praying that I don't see any more Mariannes in the wild.
Oh,
we like seeing you.
Regarding episode 54, she writes, if David Rose opened an apothecary on Schitt's Creek, which is a show, then it's totally a thing, as he used to be a trend forecaster before the family lost all their money and were forced to move to Schitt's Creek. And he is just hip and on top of things in general, as is the actor who plays him, Dan Levy. So yeah, apothecary chic, totally a thing.
We have S-C-H-I-T-T-S Creek to thank for being totally right about the apothecary.
Did we just get an E? I know. Do we have to like bleep that? What happens now?
No, that's why I spelled it. I spelled it so that everybody knew. We're saying, and you can explain this to the children in the backseat of your car right now. We are saying S-C-H-I-T-T-S.
There you go. Good job.
Then Jen wrote in and said, hi, Tom and Molly. I'm listening to It's a Thing, and I am reminded of a book by one of my favorite writers. It's called Bellwether by Connie Willis. The main character researches fads. Her main research surrounds trying to identify the origin of the bobbed hair in the 1920s. It's funny and sweet and relatively short. The audiobook is only about 6.5 hours. I really think it would be right up your alley. I want to spread some Connie Willis love. Thanks for the awesome shows.
Okay, I'm in. I mean, I will say, though, that my favorite trend spotter character of all time is, of course, Case or Casey from Pattern Recognition by William Gibson.
Right. And Connie Willis wrote the Doomsday Book, which predates Pattern Recognition. And I want to find out if Bellwether was written by her later, because I'm just curious. Not that it matters. Bellwether is a 1996 science fiction novel by Connie Willis, nominated for a Nebula Award in 1997.
Ooh, dang. Okay. Thank you. Good recommendation, Jen. I love it.
Yeah. And I love Doomsday Book by Connie Willis. She's a great writer. So this, I would totally want to read Bellwether as well.
I'm like, this is so silly, but for later, I wrote that in our Google Doc so I don't forget. Even though you're right here, Tom, and could tell me after the show is over, I still Doomsday had to make a note book. Of it. Thanks. From Chase Carroll, my local, this one I really am curious about and I want to go look in. My local grocery stores and markets are having celery shortages and price surges because of the celery juice cleanse craze. Is this real life?
And yeah, I heard about this. However,
too.
I can say that I just bought celery at my grocery store on Wednesday this week, and it did not seem to be out of the range of a normal price fluctuation. I think it was $1.99 for a really large head of celery and or stalk. What are the bunch of celery? And I've seen it at lower. I've seen it 99 cents, but they were usually smaller. So I just figured, oh, it's because it's bigger.
But I can confirm that, pricing and availability aside, in Los Angeles, which actually, you know, you're kind of lucky that way, the celery juice cleanse thing is a thing.
Apparently. Oh, yeah. No, that is absolutely a thing. You're right.
And good call, because I sometimes I read articles about things that are things and they don't catch on. But I am realizing now I totally read this article that was like, you know, as they all are, is a celery juice cleanse good, better for you than a carbon enema? Like, they're all the same.
Carbon just, enema? Tell me you made that up.
I think I made the enema part up, but there's like a whole carbon thing. I probably didn't. It's probably real. I'll just duck, duck, go.
It's better than a celery one, I guess. All right, so wait, so hold on. I just want to rewind for a second. You think that Los Angeles has a natural advantage in the celery supply chain?
I meant charcoal. Sorry. Charcoal enema, A. No, I just mean like you don't have a food drought or a food desert. Like if anybody's going to have plenty of things.
Do you think they prioritize the shipment to Los Angeles because there's so many celery eaters here?
Maybe, or maybe that's where all the smoothies are. No, I just think your grocery stores don't run out of stuff because a lot of big trucks come to LA.
All right. That's fair.
You don't have to get like defensive.
No, I'm not getting defensive. I was just like, I don't understand why we would be.
We are not celery special. We do not.
We're not the celery elite.
Don't try to put me in your coastal box.
yeah, because sometimes they...
this is just going
to prove your point. Sometimes they don't have the brand of fat-free yogurt I want, Molly. Mm-hmm, sometimes.
Exactly. No.
So no, it's not all roses here, okay?
Aww, poor peanut. All right, what are we going to do about this email? It's a long one. Let's see, Shannon. Okay, Shannon wrote to us and said she is a name enthusiast and a mom of almost three, which is why this email is so long.
Awesome.
And she writes, I was interested in your discussion of grandma names this week. I'm currently 40 weeks pregnant with my third child, a girl we have decided to name Beatrix. My first two children are an 8-year-old girl named Guinevere and a... Stupid Google Docs.
Did it to me too.
A 2-year-old boy named Caspian. Beatrix, the name, she writes, is actually even older than Beatrice. And she said she has a friend with two daughters named Stella and Amelia, both names that she loves, and confirms that Elsie is a diminutive of Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, and also congratulations, Shannon.
A bunch of, like, basically research about how right we are.
She checks the Social Security names data. When it comes out in the spring as a way to check. That's like going to the wellspring.
It really is. That's
baby name data.
It's so interesting. And yeah, she talks about like how Michael, for example, is still working its way down from its peak, which started in the 50s.
And I also like her point about the percentage of babies being given the top 10 names is declining. Like there's more name diversity.
Someone suggested that the possibility for the kind of trend of old names or more unusual names is that people were trying to get the URLs for their kids.
Oh, yeah.
Could be true, or like squatting social media and you got to get kind of weirder.
Yeah. Well, and Shannon even says parents are more aware of which names are popular and are actively seeking names that are less popular. My daughter's class at school is full of a variety of names with few duplicates.
Yeah. Kind of same, which I like. I appreciate that. It's nice to know that we're getting more independent-minded, even as we become more susceptible to partisan groupthink.
And by the way, Shannon says she's been listening since Buzz Out Loud just before Molly went on maternity leave.
Oh, man. I can't believe she throws back all the way to my baby days.
I know, right?
Damn, that's awesome. A good email, Shannon.
And then Luke, who notes Luke M. in the old BOL chat room.
Oh!
Like throwing down the street cred there. Good job, Luke.
Totally.
Luke says, first of all, it was a pleasant surprise when this joint got relit, meaning it's a thing. Cider front, Texas was making giant leaps in the market when I lived there. Austin Ciderworks had a bomb crabberry blackberry cider called, wait for it, Crackberry. And in Dallas, Bishop Cider Company doubled up on things by turning their brewery into a cidercade. Between the arcade games and the cider, I lost way too much money there. Oh, also, I wouldn't count out the advent of old male names coming back too. I know two toddlers named Walter and even a Griffin. Anyway,
dude.
So glad this is back. Going to add to the Patreon rolls when I'm back on my feet. Thanks, Luke.
Oh, thanks, buddy. That's so awesome. Also, I really like his vernacular. And indeed, our previous email backs that up because she said she has a son named Caspian. So I bet that's totally true.
Right. Huh. Yeah, well-written email, Luke. I like it.
I know. Really smooth. Let's see. Angry old man Jimmy C commenting on episode 55 says, we named our daughter Sophia.
No, you had to do it in angry old man voice.
Oh, sorry. We named our daughter Sophia back in 2000 thinking it was novel. Of course, there were four others in her class. Frankly, she was named after my dead grandmother. It's what Jewish people do. Also, I assume you have covered this or perhaps will be offended by it. But for me, it's a trigger. And I know trigger is a days gone by thing, too. I have noticed. Can I stop?
Yeah, sure. I'm entertained for the next week now.
I have noticed for a few years now that when, quote, expert people or people who are trying to sound smartish are being interviewed or speaking on a TED Talk, they overuse the phrase sort of incessantly when they are implying always, similar to kids using the word like all the time. It just feels like a qualifier yet cop out to make them sound professional and thoughtful. Love your show.
That's the best one. You get an angry email. Love your show.
I haven't noticed sort of, but I have the same reaction whenever anybody says right after the end of their sentence.
Mm.
So, you know, basically we're looking at a complete rethinking of urban planning, right?
Right. Like right. That. Am I right?
Oh,
of course.
God, those people.
Sort of and kind of. I will use myself when I'm talking about something and I am not certain about the definitiveness of it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Right. Nice. I see what you did there. Good job explaining the joke, Tom.
No, I actually did it by accident. I do it when I'm worried that someone is going to go look up the number and say, no, Tom, it's not 500. Mm. It's 512, right? So I say sort of like 500, you know?
Huh.
In order to kind of hedge off, like, I'm not trying to put myself out there as giving you the exact, but it's close enough for you to understand my point.
I guess, yes, that is one usage, but I feel like what he's saying is sort of different. But to be honest, I don't think I've heard that. I don't think I've heard someone say sort of, I guess I could imagine someone being, you know, sort of, like what, sort of, bourbon cask? I'm trying to think of I need an example. I'm going to need an audio memo, Jimmy.
Yeah.
C.
I'm trying to think of a good one.
Yeah. I don't really know.
You know, Apple kind of enters markets when they think there's an opportunity. That's not the best one though. It's always about tech.
Apple
news.
Sort of. Yeah. Huh. Okay. We're going to look it up. I mean, I believe you because you're so mad about it.
As
portrayed by me.
The sort of that you're talking about in TED Talks may be entirely different from what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do I keep doing it now?
I don't know, but I'm really sorry. But that's, you know what? The way you're doing it is still different. It's still different than the insufferable fools who do it.
You are my friend. Thank you.
It's different. I assure you. Oh, look. More from Fordo.
Oh, dear.
Bless. Harry and Meghan, she says, seen leaving what else? An apothecary today. Love it. I'm now obsessed with this thing. And then she links to a Pop Sugar article about how indeed they went to a wellness store, aka an apothecary.
Of course they did.
Damn,
that
Tom,
reminds
you crushed
me.
That one.
What do you think of Harry wanting to ban Fortnite?
More importantly,
what does your son think of wanting to ban Fortnite?
Yeah, I don't think he knows about it.
Okay.
We'll I also don't think he's demo. Impressed by princes.
Okay. From yeah, far, not far a away. Thing. Not a thing for his age group. That's true.
I want to write Harry a letter, though, and be like, hey, I see where you're going with addictive design, and I like it, but don't fall into the video game trap.
Exactly. Because I was with him partway until he started to sound like, and video games cause violence. I'm like, well, they don't. Really,
exactly.
We have some pretty good work studying that. So it's fine to say, let's be sensible and aware and pay attention. I'm all good with all of that.
Well, and it's also fine to say that Fortnite in particular is one of the first video games, if not the first video game, to come along that really does integrate every like crappy growth hack that social media has perfected.
And
like buttons and new content constantly and in-app payments and loot boxes. I mean, it just, it takes every possible little piece of addiction. It's literally like if you rolled cocaine, heroin, fentanyl, and Vicodin into one joint and we're just like, here you go, children.
With an opioid chaser.
With an opioid chaser, exactly. Like it is brilliantly designed to addict young minds. And so he is not wrong there. I just don't want it to become a video game conversation. I want it to become an addictive design conversation. And it's too nuanced and it never will.
I still think that that means we should pay attention to it, not ban it, right?
Agreed. Like,
again, right.
And they're starting to like, oh my God, you really did do it again. Okay, now you're starting to stray. I don't even know what I was going to say because that's hilarious.
I was saying that just because it has all those elements doesn't mean we should ban it. It means we should pay attention to it.
Yes, definitely. And we should talk about growth hacking and mind hacking and the attention economy and all of those things, which are super important. Yes. And there are now bans on loot boxes. They're considered gambling. Like people are taking it seriously. And I think that's good.
I really like this next one. Scott Hamilton, brief comment on episode 55. Fake smart speakers in commercials, that's a thing.
That's funny. That's really
so a thing.
Is so a thing. That is hysterical. I love that.
The first time I saw one, I thought, oh, okay, I guess they couldn't get the rights or they were worried that they would get upset. Like wouldn't they partner with Amazon or Google and put those in? And then after a while I'm like, this isn't clever anymore, y'all. Like everybody's doing this, so.
And is it all the same supplier of the same fake looking speaker? Because that would be hilarious.
I think it's a cheat, right? They don't want to get a smart speaker to do what they want it to say. So they just put a box with a light and it always looks different. And then have someone voice whatever they wanted the smart speaker to say in response.
Yeah, which is amazing. And one of them is going to hit. Like one of them is going to turn out to become the design that everyone uses probably.
Maybe. P.S., oh my gosh.
I know this isn't our show, but poor HomePod.
It's cheaper now.
It's cheaper now. Kevin commenting on episode 55, although I chuckled at the D-gaff, I have to say that for years I have been using Dilligaff, and sometimes it has two Fs. Does it look like I give a flip? Not flip, capital F, he says. Or if it has two Fs, it's does it look like I give a flying flip? And he says, I picked it up from friends in a motorcycle club that I was in, which is a humble brag, Kevin. This was about 20 years ago. Nice to see my vernacular coming back again. Someday maybe I will be cool again, although I never was.
I do find it insightful to know it came through a motorcycle club as a piece of etymological data. Dilligaff is not something.
Dilligaff.
Do the motorcycle people say Dilligaff? Or do they just say, do I look like I give a flying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think they say Dilligaff.
I don't think they say Dilligaff out loud because I feel like that's when you would get punched. You know what? I'm stereotyping about motorcycle clubs right now.
Who knows?
I
could be entirely wrong. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Could be super duper wrong.
They may just be Dilligaffing all over the place.
We did not even get to, by the way, all the things that are in our things channel in the Discord. But I just would like to acknowledge that there are many, and that if you become a patron of It's a Thing, if you want to support us monthly at as low as $1 a month, you can go to patreon.com/It's a Thing, and then you can somehow by magic connect your Patreon account to your Discord channel, and then join us live when we record this show, and also just drop things in the Thing channel for us to look at, which is awesome.
If you want the inside track on a lot more things, that's the place to be.
It really is.
There's a whole thread in here about overalls.
I know.
That we wouldn't be able to properly replicate on the show.
No.
Because it's a whole back and forth.
And there's so many links, and it's so exciting, but apparently Carhartt is back.
Yeah. Look for it in France.
That is amazing. Look for it in France, which means they'll be coming here soon, because everybody knows that France is awesome. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, folks, for supporting us at patreon.com/itsathing. And if you are not already supporting us, lots of cool things besides the Discord that you can get there. Go check it out, patreon.com/itsathing.
And thank you again for all the emails. Keep them coming because they are awesome. I loved Fan Mail Friday. feedback@itsathing.me. And we will see you back here next week.
Talk to you then.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.